The lack of snow not only affects how we locals recreate, it also can have a real impact on the tourism that is the economic engine of our town. Joining us in the studio is Helena Sedaris of Park City Lodging. Good morning, Helena. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Roger. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Helena, the reason we wanted to talk to you was to sort of explore what the season with the lack of snow and how that sort of is trickling into the lodging market. So let's start with a little bit of history. What did our lodging numbers look like for the holiday season?
For the holiday season, they were also down. So we have been seeing this kind of come along the horizon a little bit prior to the low snowfall. There's a number of factors that contributed to that that we discuss, you know, quite frequently within our industry. We're looking at the strikes of last December, 2024. That impacted a lot of return guest behavior. And then on top of that, the seasonal low snowfall that came in on December was unbelievable. I mean, we're all experiencing it. I think I read that Vail Resorts reported they were behind snowmaking by 1 month already in the beginning of December. Average temperatures in November were around 40 when they should be around 20. So there's just a lot of kind of challenging factors that are contributing to those low lodging numbers starting as early as the holidays.
So even then, were most of the people who had made reservations, were they locked in such that they couldn't cancel?
Now that's a tricky conversation. We've contended with quite a few cancellations. So Park City Lodging offers a trip insurance that covers low snow coverage. So we really try and push that on our guests. However, as you know, guest consumer behavior, nobody buys trip insurance. So the amount of people who had emergency medical situations, their neighbors were kidnapped.
The dog ate my homework.
Exactly. I was actually sent an AI video of a fake car accident that was just egregious. I have never seen anything like that in my life, trying to garner a cancellation. So we held the line strong since we do offer trip insurance, and I believe other lodging properties in Park City had the same experience. But it's not a pretty situation, especially for our reservation agents and staff who have to contend with that, and the guests themselves, you know.
Yeah, and I'm going to back up a little bit. So you mentioned the strike from last year, and that is negatively affecting all over town.
Absolutely. I've heard, I had one guest call me who had been coming to Park City for 20 years in December saying, I'm never coming back to your town again.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, last year when it was happening, remember we had a couple of interviews with people about whether or not there would be a half-life, how long the hangover would be.
Yeah.
And we were hoping that it would not be long because we'd come back with this great season this year. But so far, not so good.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's a little bit of everything. It's a mixed bag. We always say that skiers are very resilient travelers, just by nature of the sport that we all love to enjoy. But that double down of the strike conditions last year, coupled with the low snow year this year, that's going to be really hard to rebound from.
Yeah, yeah. I think Telluride could probably take a lesson from what we experienced this year because of the strike last year. They may run into some of this stuff as well.
Oh, I am feeling for the community of Telluride. And what I have heard is that the community is very upset with the way that everything unfolded with the ski patrol. And it makes me, you know, look back at what Vail was able to do at Park City Mountain with gratitude, that we were able to keep the mountain open and, you know, work through those negotiations. It was painful, but we had an open mountain. Telluride did not have an open mountain.
No, and there's nowhere to drive to from there. I mean, here you could at least go to Deer Valley or, you know, jump into one of the canyons or something.
Okay, so we started with the holidays. Then the next sort of bump is MLK. And
yes.
Again, similar pattern?
Similar pattern. Demand is low. Obviously, you know, we've seen over the past couple of years, especially with the shared pass product, that the booking window shortens a little bit, meaning that people can be a little bit more flexible with the destinations that they choose to travel, and they kind of tend to follow the snow. So we kind of are waiting for this last-minute demand to hit along with the snow, and when that never came, we're feeling it.
Yeah, I think everybody's hoping for a last-minute demand hit. And then we get to Sundance, which one would think would not be affected by the lack of snow.
Precisely. And it's been interesting because we've been hearing over the past couple of years that Sundance is kind of this opportunity for skiers to come because there's this sense that the mountain is empty. Even so, you know, Park City Lodging, we partner with the Sundance Institute. We are their largest lodging provider, so we host their volunteers, staff, talent. So we're fortunate in that we have a little bit of a foundational buffer against the low demand. But even beyond that, we are seeing even some of our corporate partners with large corporation names that I'm likely not able to share on the air. But they've dropped not only in the number of properties that they've booked, but in the amount of days that they're booking as well. So we're seeing a lot of 3, 4, 5 night reservations, mm-hmm. whereas we used to have 7, 8, 9, 10 night reservations. So the second half of Sundance, our rates, we have dropped kind of to like a lower demand just to try and fill with some ski visitation, and it just has not happened. So not only is occupancy down, but the average daily rate, the cost at which we can sell properties, has also lowered significantly. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what this festival does. You know, there's kind of two ideas. It's either going to go out with a huge kind of boom and excitement, or it's just kind of fizzle into the night.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
But the numbers you're talking about and the lack of demand you're talking about sounds a little bit fizzly. Having said that, it looks like all the movies are still sold out.
The movies are sold out. And you know what we're seeing actually as well is a lot of our properties are occupied by homeowners. They're coming into town because it's the last Sundance. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of demand on that side. But then also, you know, the shift when the festival went partially virtual post-COVID, mm-hmm. that has also really just changed the entire dynamic of this festival. And with so many people being able to opt in and experience from the comfort of their own homes, it's just kind of left an opportunity there, and we're feeling it.
So you guys have a reputation, a name. People are familiar with this as a way to come to Park City. What have you heard about sort of what's happening to what I would call the independents out there, the mom and pops who have one or two Airbnbs or VRBOs? Are they getting hit just as hard?
I think it also depends on the level of quality of the properties that they represent. We're seeing that luxury is a little bit more insulated from mm-hmm. some of these dips in occupancy and the daily rates. So I think that luxury market is remaining a little bit resilient. The smaller mom and pops, these are the owners that I'm getting calls from that manage more condominium style studios, a little bit on that more budget, moderate rating. I think they're really feeling the hit, and it's going to cause a little bit of a shift in the entire ecosystem of the vacation rental world. We're seeing also some of our owners are looking at occupying their properties full time, either with family members or with themselves. It's not as lucrative of a investment as it used to be. Mm-hmm. That said, I think that the pendulum will swing and there is a recalibration happening within the market. And, there's a lot going on in the macroeconomic sense as well. The consumer behavior has shifted over the past year greatly with these geopolitical components. And so I really do believe that there is just going to be a little bit of a period of recalibration. But our market is incredibly resilient, and our product, Park City, you guys, it's the best.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate.
It's so easy to get here. You can't get to a ski resort or ski town like Park City from an international airport as quickly as Salt Lake, you know?
Okay, so I've spent a lot of time around big corporations who deal with, have large staffs that do complex dynamic pricing models. I'm having a vision of you in a conference room with two or three other people trying to do this without massive computer banks. Talk to us a little bit about that process.
Well, it's a little bit of both, actually. So I'm glad you brought that up. So we do implement and employ a dynamic pricing model similar to the airlines, and that is a whole complex algorithm that I will not even begin to try to understand. However, on top of that, we have an internal revenue management team. There's about 6 of us at Park City Lodging, and we meet every single week, and we review not only that algorithm, but other kind of components, that the human touch, a little bit of a manual oversight. So it's a lot of high-level technology and then kind of us monkeys sitting around a conference table hitting our head against a wall trying to perfect it.
Come on. Slamming the keys on the keyboard.
Exactly.
Work for us.
Exactly.
Now, do you use AI in any of that?
We do use AI. It's a combination, we call it, of, like I said, high-level technology and a little bit of crystal ball. So we're fortunate. A lot of our team, you know, we just celebrated our 42nd year in business. Our reservations manager has been with us for, I believe, 12 years. We have a lot of longevity on our team. Mm-hmm. And that institutional knowledge brings so much to the table in terms of just historical understanding of these shifts and demands. I mean, we've been through so much as
right,
a town,
right, right.
Booms and busts and the Olympics and 08, 09. And, you know, it's about having that long-term perspective to kind of keep maintain that resiliency.
Yeah. Now, are some of your homeowners that you nightly rent their places, are they looking to go long-term?
That isn't. That's interesting you bring that up. That has been a conversation that has surfaced, especially when we look into the summer months and summer occupancy. It's very rare that we'll do a monthly occupancy during the winter season. The nightly rate just really doesn't pan out in, you know, unique opportunities we will. But in the summer season, there's such an opportunity for that. And I think that is the traveler that is looking to experience Park City in the summertime. They want a home base. They want to become embedded in the community. And having a vacation rental property where you have a full kitchen and a home base, you feel like you have that access and avenue, and that's where the opportunity is.
And it's far more affordable in the summer.
Oh, my,
you know?
Not even comparable.
Yeah. They can rent for 4 months and then pop in and out or have their family hang out. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I hesitate to ask this question only because of what we've talked about so far, but how are things looking for February and March?
February and March is a mixed bag. We have some very strong weeks. February is actually performing very well. We're fortunate for that, especially around President's Week. The first part of March and around the spring breaks is also performing very well. Park City Lodging works with a lot of ski groups, so we get those on the books. The second half of March, we need snow. That's what will drive that occupancy, and there is nothing else. I mean, I know there's some great events that are going on around town, but March is for the Powder Hounds.
Yes.
So I'm optimistic.
I am too. Did you bring your crystal ball?
I did bring my. It actually lives within my cranium at all times, and so I'm happy to tap in at any time and issue an insight.
It's looking good.
Yeah, it's looking really good. Starting February.
Let's talk about the ripple effects of this. In a sense, we're sort of using you as a model for the overall economic activity in the town, and we appreciate that. But I want to talk about when you have this big a drop in demand, is that affecting staff? Is that first of all, it's obviously affecting owners, and we'll come back to that. But I want to talk about, how do you think this is affecting sort of the people who do the work?
It's absolutely affecting. There's no doubt. It's such a complex ecosystem that we have here in Park City within our economy and how it relates to nightly vacation rentals, tourism, people coming into town. so on Park City Lodging's side of things, we ramp up our team in the winter season like almost every other business. We delayed that by about a month. So typically we would bring on additional housekeepers, maintenance staff, front desk and concierge staff right around November, Thanksgiving holiday, so we can train them and get them prepared for the season. We really brought that team on around December 15th. So we have both J-1 workers and seasonal return workers who were completely without work. And we do everything we can. Again, we work with our groups. We do deep cleans on our properties to give our housekeeping team additional opportunity for income and to prepare for the season. But even those small little gaps of service and of employment, they will ripple out, because those workers, they're not making an income. They're not going to the corner store to get a beer after work. Mm-hmm. They're not going down to, Cafe Torrigo to grab a bite. It's, we're feeling it, I think, across the entire economy. It's the transportation drivers. It's the ski rental workers. It's the lifties. It's the food and beverage staff. I mean, there's almost no part of our community that isn't touched by this seasonal tourism.
Yeah. Economy. Yeah. I know a lot of the mountain workers are not working, yet they're still paying the rent that the resorts.
Exactly. Yeah. And it reminds me of my mom, Rhonda. She talks about a season back in, I think, the early 80s and prior to snowmaking, and it didn't snow until February, so the resort didn't open until February. Ouch. And they went through the exact same thing. They were all making one pot of ham and bean soup to share with the neighborhood once a week and scraping by, until they could make it. So I know we're a resilient town. I know we can do it. That's what, brings our heart and soul together, but people are feeling it.
And I guess for some owners who've penciled out a certain model with certain revenues as opposed to servicing their debts, That's got to be, you got to see some people in a bit of a crunch.
It's been extremely challenging, not only just given, the unique circumstances around this season that are causing some challenges, but also just the greater recalibration of the market post-COVID. In 2021, we saw a huge increase in the average daily rate and occupancy. And a lot of the owners that we work with came in to Park City with their investment properties during that time. So there's a level of expectation. And so that recalibration and that resettling is also bumping up against the low snow year, the low demand, the greater economic, geopolitical, consumer behavior changes. And it's just creating a lot of uncertainty. So I've been having a lot of these conversations.
Yeah. I would imagine then people may be selling their places come spring, just saying, holy cow, we could not make it through the winter and we can't hang on till next winter. And they don't maybe they don't have summer rentals. I guess there might be a glut of some vacation properties for sale.
I'll say that it's unusual for a property to be on the market in the wintertime just because there's so many reservations on the books. Yeah. I have never in my life seen so many properties on the market during the season. So I think we're already starting to see a little bit of that. But again, you know, who knows? If it starts snowing in February, March, we could end the year in a fantastic note.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I think that might be, maybe we should end the interview on a fantastic note.
That always sounds good.
Anything else you want to touch? Kevin, you want to touch anything else before we go?
Let's see. Let me just write that time down so I know I can edit that out. Okay, so how about the last question? Damage to the brand.
I think we did that.
Did we?
We talked about the half-life.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
But that's a brand of Park City, the town.
Right.
But it's not going to affect. No, it's not going to affect you guys.
They're so many
years in business. I can't think of anything else I want to go into except.
What's our time like?
I'm sorry?
What's our time?
We came in about 15 and changed. Perfect. So, yeah.
Nice.
We're looking
great.
Good.
That's yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'll edit it down. It'll come in less than 15.
So, Alina, it's funny that you say that because, like, after I approached you about renting the place, we thought, you know what? We probably ought to remodel it and sell it. And, of course, so I've walked into a terrible market. But it's not actually, it's not terrible.
No, and, you know, I really believe, like, this is a little dip we're seeing. And we're going to, I think, hold on to your investment.
You can buy furniture. And I know a company that'll rent it for you.
After you've done the remodel, get some furniture, give it to her and be done with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is not out of the question.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want to deal with it again.
I know. That's just the headache of it.
I know. And I have a long-term renter lined up for him if he decides not to sell it.
Right.
So,
we'll see.
Okay, you want to wrap the show?
Oh, wrap the show?
Yeah, wrap it. Give us our closeout.
For this interview or for the show?
For this interview.
Okay. All right.
We'll pick it up from end it on a good note.
Okay. We've been speaking with Helena Sedaris of Park City Lodging. Thanks so much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you both. It was an absolute pleasure, as always.
We'll be right back after this.